Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we talk about how we know what love is. But first, let's pray. O God, would you prepare our hearts to receive your word? Help us at this time to be still and hear only your voice, so that we may hear your word and then do it, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading for today is from 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 to 24, and I'm reading from the NIV. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Just to there, and may God bless his word to us always. A short while ago, I shared from 1 John and talked a bit about what John was dealing with in writing his letter to the churches who were its recipients. Namely, that Gnosticism had become a huge problem in the churches, much like the prosperity gospel has harmed the church in our day. Gnosticism, much like Docetism, called into question the human nature of Jesus and denied the incarnation of Christ altogether. For them, there was no bodily resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. I should add that the ideas of those who promoted these errors only later came to be called Gnosticism. Nevertheless, an outcome of that denial was Gnosticism's claims that actions done in the body do not have an impact on a person's soul or salvation, and so they often lived immoral and corrupt lives. In addition, the only thing of value from Christ's death, in their view, was his example of how to live and die with dignity. Last of all, Gnosticism did not care for fellowship with God's people. They had no sense of being part of the body of Christ. They had no sense of care or love for others. So it is easy to see how their spirituality was practiced as a personal affair, developed through secret knowledge revealed to the elect few. This all to develop the context for our reading for today, in which John is at pains to reveal the nature of what the church, the body of Christ, should be like as God's people. It is in fellowship because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is God the Son. It is in fellowship with its own members, who are called to love one another. It is also in a healthy relationship with both God and man, because we confess our sins and make peace where required, early and often. And so as we turn to our text, we find the following. Firstly, love is defined in verse 16, the first part. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, said John, which brings to mind John chapter 3, verse 16, where Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So John reminds the church that Jesus did this for us. That is, those who are believers, who are his. We are here because of that love. We are the objects of God's saving love, as well as whoever has believed and will in the future believe in him. Continue to bear in mind that John is addressing the status of the church. He is not promoting a denial of love and care towards the unbelieving world on the basis that they do not know God. That's the first point. The second point is in verses 16, the second part, all the way through to verse 18. We see love demonstrated among God's people, where we read, "And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers," meaning those of the family of God. "If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." Now, an interesting use of language reveals what John means when he says in verse 17, "If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him?" So the word "sees," as in sees his brother, means more than just a passing glance. The word implies that if the person sees his brother for long enough to be sure of the situation, which speaks of actions based in truth, but he has no pity on him, meaning intentionally shows no compassion, how can the love of God be in him or her? For context, we also need to read the verses preceding our reading, namely verses 10 to 15. And this will help to know why John says what he says. Here he states, "This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him." These are strong words by John, to be sure, and because he offers no gray areas, it requires some clarification. Remember, his statements are made in light of the false teachings mentioned earlier and then compared with God's word in Scripture. He thus avoids nuances. Therefore, those who do not do what is right, meaning if they live outside of God's direction in Scripture, are not children of God. This would include those intentionally not demonstrating a love for God's people. This, John says, accords with what the church heard from the beginning, from Jesus, that we should love one another. And that can be found in John chapter 13, verse 34, where Jesus begins with the words, "A new commandment I give to you." The balance of this text, that is, verses 10 to 15, deals with the claim that obedience and love for fellow believer serve as simple yet clear evidence of a genuine relationship with Jesus. Also, the idea that if hate is to be the experience of the believer, it will come from the world and should not come from a brother or sister in Christ. And if someone hates their fellow believer, then they are like a murderer, and like Cain, do not have eternal life. For a person cannot be hate-filled while being in a real relationship with Jesus, who is the giver of eternal life. This is a contradiction in terms. And so, in our original reading for the day, love is demonstrated when we see each other as family on a journey together in Christ's name. When that is the case, we will share our lives with each other, helping our Christian family members as we are able. But our actions must come from truth and be based in truth, as opposed to ill-informed actions, false guilt, and misdirected motives. And when we act out of true love for our Christian family, with all the truth of a situation at our disposal, then we know we belong to the truth, and God is with us and for us. Why? Well, verses 19 and 20 say the following. This is then how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. In this form, it's hard to understand and be comforted. However, the intention here is that as genuinely concerned Christians, very often as we care for others in the church, we may feel quite deeply our own inadequacy and failure. This is when our hearts condemn us. When this happens, we must remember that God takes into account everything about us and is well aware of our motives and fundamental commitment to the truth. And so if our hearts are persuaded by God's love for us and his awareness of our intentions, and that we are making every effort to live out Christ's command to love one another, there is no condemnation. And so as we come to a close, once a condemning heart has been silenced by resting on God's love for us and knowledge of all things, there comes a new confidence before God, as well as a boldness before him, that prayers will be answered because, as believers, we are consciously striving to live in God's will, obeying his commands and doing what pleases him. As we then actively engage in deeds of love, and as we achieve boldness before God in prayer, we grow in doing what God commands, and so live a life of confidence in the name of Christ. And it is a life which is undergirded by God's love, which we come to understand. This kind of life is seen as obedience to a single command, expressed in verse 23, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. This is how we know what love is, and to know what faith is, for to believe is to live in obedience to God's word. And if we obey his commands, verse 24 says that we will abide in him and he abides in us. And how we know that he abides in us is by the Holy Spirit he gave us and the Spirit's operation in our lives. So may God help us to weather the many voices that speak to us that are not from him, so that we can be a clear voice for the gospel of Christ and demonstrate that we know what love is by our love for God and then also for each other and finally for those in the world, a love that is born of his Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, you sent your Son into the world that we might live through him. Grant that we may abide fully in his risen life, so that we may bear the fruit of love for one another and know the fullness of your joy. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. And God bless you.